Time for a few good minutes now here, midsummer edition, and time to catch up with Bahati Van Pelt. We have known each other for years. I've called you Van, so is it okay if I call you Van?
That's fine with me, Brian. Good to see you again.
And you're now working for the Players Association in Washington, D.C. How's that been?
It's different. You know, D.C. is a little different than being in Jacksonville. I forgot how hot it is down here. So that was kind of an eye-opener, but the city is great. Working for the union is an amazing opportunity. It gives me a chance to stay involved with working with players and being involved with football. And, you know, this is the only career I've had since I left school.
You know, for those folks who maybe heard your name years ago, Bahati ran the player programs department here. Before that, he was in public relations. You did a little time at the Hall of Fame. You've been around professional football your whole adult life. Now, though, you're on the other side of it from the team perspective. How different is that?
Yeah, it's different. You know, I always say the biggest difference is that you're not getting ready for Sundays, and you don't have that personal day-to-day interaction with players. The thing I miss the most is being in the locker room, being around the guys. So whenever we have players come in the building at the union, there's something that gets excited in me because that's the environment that I'm used to being in. But being able to serve guys and to see them develop, and the best thing about what we do is that Sundays don't matter anymore. It is literally about making them the best individual they can be, as opposed to not only trying to develop them personally, but making sure that they achieve the success they want to have on the field.
I joked for years when people would ask, what does Van do? I'd say, well, he's the player's babysitter. Because you dealt with the little things. You know, you dealt with Disney tickets or helping a wife who needed to get an apartment or something like that. You were there to make their lives easier from the day to day. How different is what you're doing with this new program, the Trust? I imagine it's a much broader perspective.
Yeah, well, instead of having your small, you know, 53-man roster, now I've got about 14,000 former players that are eligible for the services that we provide. Also, not in the ticket business anymore. Don't miss that. Miss Jim Scott, but don't miss the ticket business. But a lot of the things that I learned and that I dealt with here on a day-to-day basis are the things that we've taken into the Trust. The design of the Trust is set up similar to what I did here. So for the guys that enter our organization, they are assigned what's called a program manager. That program manager is basically their player development person as a former player. There is a relationship building. I believe that everything that happens positively or negatively comes through relationships, and that, you know, that is the basis for what we do. The partners are great, the services and the resources we provide, but it starts on the phone with that initial conversation, building that relationship so that the players can trust that what we're providing them is something that is going to help them in their post-career.
I can remember walking down the hall with you one day, and both Jimmy and Keenan were looking for you. You built strong relationships with all of those players over the years. Do you keep in contact with some of them?
Yeah, I've had several guys that played here have actually reached out regarding the Trust. I've reached out to guys as well. I've tried to be proactive and not just wait on them to call me. But those relationships are everlasting. You know, the relationships I made in this building with players – and staff, coaches, those were some of the best years of my life. What I'm doing now is extremely rewarding, but I miss the people that we had the fortunate experience to work around. Byron Leftwich goes back and forth between D.C. and Miami. Byron and I were really close when he was here. He still comes by the office and stops by and say hello. Maurice Jones-Drew was up in D.C. visiting his agent. He came by. I have several guys that Drayton Florence, Cleo Lemon, all those guys, Brad Meester, those guys have reached out, Maurice Williams, Scott Starks, you know, so those are relationships that will last forever. I was just in Orlando this weekend at an event, and Thomas Williams was there. So, you know, being able to leverage the relationship with those players that were here, they in turn leverage their relationships with other former players, and it has allowed us to serve one guy at a time, at a time, at a time, and now we've built up a pretty impressive number for only being here a year and a half.
What's your goal? What's the objective for the Trust?
Yeah. Well, my goal personally is to impact every former player in some way, whether it's providing them resources, whether it's providing them counseling through mental health if needed, whether it's helping them start their own businesses, whether it's making sure that they're financially secure in their post-career. You know, I'm a servant at heart. What I did here every day was just trying to see people improve and get better in their personal lives. And so we've taken that philosophy to the Trust. And really, it's just, Brian, it's about day after day, minute after minute, making sure that we're there as guys leave this league, because there are some challenges that are involved when you leave this league. And for some guys, they handle the transition well. For other guys, they don't handle it as well. But whether they're in a good space or a challenging space, we want them to know that the trust is here for them.
What's the environment like in the Players Association these days? You know, you had a player, Brandon Spikes, you know, who was cut by the Patriots after his car was found on the side of the road. So, you know, all of a sudden now it seems as if there's very little tolerance for off-the-field kind of things, which would seem to be the union's opportunity to step in and start dealing with some of these players and helping them out. Is that the way you see it?
Well, I'm fortunate, you know, I say fortunate, that I don't have much interaction with the active guys, because the stuff we're working on is for former guys. But I do keep an eye on what's happening around the league, because, as you know, as guys, if there is a misstep or if they're not re-signed, then those are guys that we need to get access to quickly, because that transition starts immediately for them. You know, Damari Smith, our executive director at the union, has done a great job of making sure that anytime a player is in need, the union is there for him. And I know that may sometimes not be a popular stance among the fans, because we're fighting for our members. But at the end of the day, that's what their union is there for. You know, these men pay dues and they're active in their membership and they have reps at each team. And those reps are the link between the members at each club and the union. And, you know, Damaris does a great job of making sure that they know that whenever there is a challenging situation or whenever there is a positive situation that needs to be publicized, that their union will be there for them.
You've worked on the club side, the NFL side, for so many years, and now you're on the other side of the fence. And, of course, when labor and management are dealing with each other, it's designed to have conflict so that both sides get their issues addressed. How interesting is it for you to be on the other side of the fence now after all of these years? And just from your perspective, how strong is the relationship between the management and the labor?
Well, it's interesting for me, because the thing that I noticed the most is that when you're not getting ready for Sunday, you can focus on, you know, the external things that go on around the game. You know, I always say that fans just see what happens on Sunday, but there's a lot of things that happen Monday through Saturday. And that's where that union is there to make sure that things are done correctly according to the CBA, and that the players are represented at the table when it comes to things, whether it's issues with the personal conduct policy, whether it's a grievance that is filed between a player and a team. So for me, I've always been an advocate for players and their rights. So it's been a natural progression to me. I think it may have been different if I had worked in player personnel and I was involved with cutting guys, or if I had worked in the front office where there was more of a management component, you know. But everything I did every day here was working with guys day to day. And it's just an extension of what I was doing here, what we're doing now.
You know, since you bring that up, there's always questions from casual fans, you know, people that live down the street standing in line at Publix, right? They read a story about a player who's broke or a player who's gotten in trouble or something like that. And they say, why don't teams do a better job of preparing them? Well, you were a part of that preparation. Now you're seeing it from the Players Association perspective. Give me an idea of where the programs are at right now and how the union helps teams help players.
Well, there's a lot of programs that are available for incoming players. I know the Rookie Symposium is next week. Every team has a player development person. Here is Marcus Pollard, who assumed that role when I left. And Marcus does a great job. I've stayed in contact with Marcus even since I've left here. So it's not a matter of programming. The union has programs. The league, the player engagement department at the league office provides programs and resources. But, Brian, to be honest with you, it is not about the programs. It is about those individual relationships. And if those relationships aren't strong, then the programming doesn't matter. I have a saying up in D.C. that there are two things that we're trying to address as guys leave the league. We're trying to address mindset, the fact that as a former player, your mindset must shift, and then skill set, giving you the tools so that you can be successful. And I think it's the same way as an active player and even as a rookie that is incoming in this league. There is a mindset that goes along with being, I am not in college anymore. I am now a professional, and this is my career. Not my job, this is my career. And the same thing as a skill set. There are things that you could get away with on the field in college from a technique standpoint that has to be tightened up here in the league, or else you will not be a part of the National Football League. And now it's the same way when you transition. So for me, it's an extension of what we're doing. There are several programs, but guys have to take advantage of them. I used to have a saying I used to tell the rookies when I was here is that you may leave here and say you didn't do, but you will never leave here and say you didn't know. And that is the mentality that we take at the union. And I know that's the mentality that several of the player engagement guys take at the league, at the teams.
You get around to all 32 teams, obviously. So let's reminisce for a moment. You've been to New York. You and Coach Coughlin share a moment when you get up there?
I went to New York, but I didn't see Coach Coughlin. I was at the Giants alumni weekend, and they had a Monday night game. So Coach Coughlin already had him in the hotel, so I missed him. But I did get a chance to see some guys. Deion Grant was there, former Jaguar. And then there were some guys that actually played in Atlanta when I was with the Falcons. That was there, too. So I have not seen Coach Coughlin yet, but at some point I will get a chance to see him before he gets out of there.
Do you have a lasting memory or story that you tell about the Tom Coughlin era?
Yeah, I think 96 when I was an intern here, flying back on the plane, coming back from Denver. You know, I remember doing the flyover and noticing all the people. That's probably the most memorable moment. The most memorable experience for me, though, was players. Remember Fred Taylor, the day he came in as a drafted rookie, and then remembering the man that he grew into when he broke 10,000 yards up in Tennessee. That is a moment that'll stick with me forever. Leftwich, remember being with Byron, one of the games, I think it was out in Arizona, when he got hurt, and being on the cart with him and being in the training room with him and just seeing the disappointment, because we all felt that he was just turning the corner. And then understanding that that was a setback. And I think even Byron would tell you that. I think that probably was the moment where he was never the same after that, you know, whether that was physically or even, you know, from playing wise. But those things, you know, being with Jimmy and Keenan and seeing just how unbelievable they were as players, hoping that we could make it to the Super Bowl in 99 so that people could fully understand how good this team was. And then the rookies, you know, as you know, I used to be the point of contact for all the rookies when they came in right after they were drafted, and seeing excitement on their face, and then also seeing the kind of the unsureness that they had, understanding that this was a different level. And, you know, as we used to say, it was grown man business now. And that it wasn't college anymore, but they had an opportunity. And if they took advantage of that opportunity, they had a chance to set themselves and their families up for a lifetime that they probably never could have imagined a few years ago.
Let's wrap this up. You know, our mutual friend, Vic Ketchman, who I know you love as much as I do, who's obviously now in Green Bay, he had a saying back in the days where Jaguars Inside Report, and I know you're one of the few people in this building today that remembers paging through that weekly during the season, but he signed a poster at the end of the year that said, Brian, it's the memories that make us rich. As you go around the NFL, I mean, there's so many coaches who have been here, players who have been here, and you reflect on, you know, 20-plus years in the National Football League. How rich are you?
Extremely. And it's funny you mentioned Vic. I actually, when Coach Noel passed away, I called Vic and told him that I was keeping him and his family in my prayers because I know how close Coach Noel was to Vic. But you're right. I mean, we're all blessed to work in a sport that most people would give, you know, their right arm to be a part of. We've experienced things that, you know, the average fan will never understand. We watch games from, you know, perspectives that many people would kill to be a part of. But at the end of the day, it is really about the relationship. I consider Jacksonville home. You know, I was in Orlando before I drove up here, and making that drive that I've made several times, but have not made that drive in over a year. There's a little something that comes over you knowing that you're going to see people that, you know, I grew up here. You know, I came in here right out of college. I was 23 years old. You know, I'm married now. I've had the fortunate experience to move on from here and get a great job working in a great city, impacting the lives of many, many men and their families. But it's the relationships I built here that have sustained me and have taught me what it means to build relationships on an even broader level at the union.
You know, the greatest thing about this edition of A Few Good Minutes is I look at you like you look at Fred Taylor. I remember when you showed up as a youngster, as an intern, and to see the man that you've become and to know the wife that you have in Faith, who's a beautiful woman, and you have become one of the Jaguars' shining stars, and I'm so proud of you. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes.
All right. Thank you, Brian, and go Jaguars.
Oh, by the way, you still root for the Jaguars?
Yes, I do. It's hard to find a TV with a game on in D.C., but there's a little sports bar right up the street from where I live in D.C., so I'll walk up there after church on Sunday mornings, and I get my TV over in the corner and eat brunch. But, no, I'm a Jaguars fan. I've still got a sweatshirt and some shorts, and, you know, there aren't many of us up there, but I have run into a couple of people that are from Jacksonville that work for the federal government, and so we kind of bond over the fact that, you know, we remember the good times, and I just want to say that I know there's been some struggles here in the past, but, you know, I see great things coming for this team, and when you talk to people around the league, the consensus is that if they keep doing it right down there, they think that there's something special that's going on here in Jacksonville.
And we'll end A Few Good Minutes with those few good words.